He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our word of hope this morning is taken from the word of Isaiah, the 41st chapter. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm told that the advice columnist Ann Landers would receive about 10,000 letters per month from her adoring fans. And Ann once said, of all those letters, there's really one topic that comes to the top of the pile. And it's the topic of fear. Now, if we look into the mirror, we know that we all have fears of one kind or another. Lord knows if you look through a Google search on phobias, there are literally thousands of them. And the greatest fear of all, for many, is the fear of death. In fact, I consulted one source that they didn't name who they were, estimated that there's approximately 5,417 people who die every single hour. My dad once told me that there's two things you can count on this world, son: death and taxes. And ultimately, the Grim Reaper comes for us all. The comedian Woody Allen once quipped, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. But the truth of it is, we chuckle, but the reality is we all do things to extend our lives. How many of you exercise on a regular basis? I was on my stationary bike 40 minutes this morning because I don't want to get too blooming fat. The reality is we take medication. Why? To keep the effects of our sin at bay so that we can live lives that seem somewhat normal. How many of you eat food that you're not a real big fan of? You'd rather eat food that is full of gluten, full of fat, and yes, a lot of bacon. We love to do it, but the reality is so often we temper our diets because we want to extend the life we live in the world today. But the reality is each of us has an expiration date. Now, ladies, I checked the statistics, and you can expect to live about 81.2 years. Men, we, on the other hand, can only expect 76.4 years. And yes, I know what you're doing right now. You're doing the math. How old am I, and how long did he say? The reality is, we all get to that point. I once had a member who was dying of cancer. And as I went to console her as pastor and to strengthen her in her faith, she just looked at me and she says, Pastor, we're all going to die. I just know how. And I looked at her and I thought to myself, you know what? Not all of us have the luxury of knowing how we're going to die, if indeed that's a luxury. And not one of us knows the when. It's with that topic in mind and the death of Rogene upon our hearts that I want to turn our attention to God's Word. A word that tells us that we are, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, because I am your God. I'm reminded at the birth of Jesus. As Christ had been born, the angels of the Lord were over the shepherds outside of Bethlehem, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the text says that they were filled with fear. And the angel's response to their fear was simply this: Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Jesus the Lord. Or I remember when Jesus walked on the water towards his disciples in the dead of night, and the sea was tossed about a bit, and the disciples saw him, but they couldn't make out who it was, and they were terrified because they thought it was a ghost. Do you remember what Jesus' words were to them? It is I. Don't be afraid. As I read these words of God recorded by Isaiah, the thing that strikes me straight out of the gate is the fact where Jesus Christ is, our fears are taken away. I got to know Rogene very well through Toddie's illness and his being home shut in, and then ultimately after her stroke, but she was in church all the time. She sat way in the back for an easy, quick escape. But she always said hi and hello to me and was very kind, and she was my kind of a girl because she was tough. But the reality is, she knew that February the 18th, the day of her death, would ultimately one day come. You know how I know? Because part of my practice through the years with shut-ins, people that can't get to church, is to take church to them. And along with taking church, God's devotion or something of that nature, I share with them the Lord's Supper. And part of the preparation to commune with them, I simply ask them one question. Do you humbly confess and heartily lament your sins? Now for many, it might be offensive for a pastor to ask you that question. But I says, if so, then confess by saying yes. And she always said yes. Even after a stroke, when words weren't always the easiest, she would always acknowledge that, I am a sinner, Pastor. She knew who she was. And she wasn't going to hide the truth, even though she can't always pronounce Japanese baseball players' names. For God declares, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and she knew it. But what's worse is the wages of that sin is ultimately death. And she knew as a result of who she was as a sinful human being that death's sullen stream would one day rise and sweep her away. Why? Because she was not afraid, though. Because of the promises that God's made to her. God's challenge to her, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. She wasn't afraid because she knew who Jesus Christ is and who he is to her. As you read through her obituary, you may notice, I don't know if the churchly part was added this time, but the reality was she was born on May 22nd, 1935, and she was baptized that same year, and I assume shortly after her birth, as is often the practice, and Arnold and Alice, her parents, took her to that North Church at Gresham, Nebraska, and the pastor, over that thorn, I'm sure, poured the water and says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it was on that day that she became a child of God. Is on that day, things for her changed, not only in the world in which she lived in a relationship with Christ, but ultimately for eternal life. So I can tell you with all certainty that February the 18th did not make her afraid at all. Now, if you read through her life and her obituary, it reveals an interesting person. And as a pastor, I always love looking through the pictorial directory, if you will, of the person's life that the family sees as important to share with family and friends. I always love that. But one thing about Rogene, you'll know about her, that she spent, 30 years at Goodyear Manufacturing. 30 years. A woman, 30 years. Kind of reminds me of Rosie the Riveter. Kind of flexing the chops here a little bit, and I can do this job. I'm not afraid of anyone or anything. She wasn't afraid of work. She wasn't afraid of strain or struggle. On many of her visits, we had talked about her family, and most especially the fishing trips and the different destinations they went to, and the time they took the camper under that overpass and ripped the air conditioner clean off the top. She told me about that too, but although that was Toddie's fault. But the reality is, she was not afraid of anything. She loved the camp. She loved the fish. She loved her boat, being out and that freedom that it gives you. And if you thought Rogene was this kind of a dainty, proper and prim young lady, well, you got the wrong person, because she was tough. And she was a strong woman. She was strong indeed. Which brings me back to the text from Isaiah. Because Isaiah doesn't stop there, don't be afraid. He then begins to give you some reasons why not to be afraid, beyond having our God and the fact that he's with us. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Now, it's been a while since most of us have sat through an English class at a high school or university. Praise be to Jesus. But the reality is, who's working the verbs? Who's the subject of all the verbs when it says, I will strengthen, I will help, and I will uphold? Who's doing the work? See, the reality is the who in the sentence is our Heavenly Father. He's the subject of all those verbs. He's the one that gives you strength on a day like today. He's the one that provides help in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death that all of us transcend through. And he's also the one that ultimately lifts us up by his victorious right hand. He promises to strengthen you, to help you, to uphold you. Therefore, we have no need to fear. Perhaps your response this morning in light of Rogene's death is great. Our God is a great God. He does all these things. It's wonderful that he strengthens. It's wonderful that he helps us. It's wonderful that he uplifts us. But Pastor, I'm not from Missouri, but I want you to show me. Show me how God does that. Because there's often times in my life where I don't feel strengthened and helped and uplifted. So how does God do it? And as I read through that text, I'm reminded of the Apostles' Creed that speaks of Jesus and says, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And before he says he's going to do all this strengthening and all that through his victorious right hand. How? Through Jesus. With all Rogene's strength, with all of her character, she knew that she would never have the strength to overcome the penalty for her sin. Therefore, she found her strength in the crucified Christ. She celebrated her faith in him and all that Christ had done on Calvary's cross on her behalf. But more so than that, it's also the fact that his tomb was empty. There's that promise of eternal life through faith in him. She was not afraid. I'm reminded of this story that it's really not all about Rogene this morning. See, the real truth is that she's already received her heavenly kingdom. The room that Jesus prepared for her is done. The curtains are hung. Oh, and by the way, it's not made with brick and stone. It's made with wood and nails. But the reality today is more about you and me. Because we know our own mortality. We've done the math. We realize that we don't live forever. And in the midst of all that, there's times when we are afraid. And I'm here to tell you this morning, through faith in Jesus Christ, you don't need to be afraid. You need to rejoice in what Christ has done for you at Calvary's cross and the new life that you have in him. And I'm here to tell you that fear and Christ simply ultimately don't go together because of his great love for you. I want to conclude by telling you a story I've heard is true, and perhaps you've heard it before. It's of a woman that was making preparations for her funeral service, so she met with her pastor. And she was going through all the Christ-centered hymns that she wanted the congregation to sing, and the verses from Scripture that she thought would be a great comfort to her family. She was placing all these suggestions before Pastor, and he was busily writing them down. And she says, "But Pastor, there's one thing that's really important that I really want you to do for me." And the pastor says, "Well, what would that be?" She says, "I want, when my casket's open for viewing, I want you to grab one of the forks from the kitchen and I want you to shove it right into my hands. And I want everyone to be able to see it." And I've seen a lot of kind of strange things, and I'm thinking to myself, whatever for? She says, "Pastor, it's easy. You remember all the potlucks we have at church? And when people go around and get their main dish and all that stuff, you always stand up and says, 'Whoa, whoa, whoa, keep your forks, because the best is yet to come.' I want my family to know this isn't all there is. Because of what Christ has done for me upon the cross, I know I'm forgiven. And I know I have eternal life with him. And through faith in him, I will see you again someday. Amen. Amen."